My name is Sarah Jane Hevner, and I am 18 years old. Today is the 30th of November, 2017, and I'm speaking with my great aunt, Jane Klemmer, and we are recording in Gastonia, North Carolina. So first of all, I want to ask you about your childhood. So where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in Gastonia, North Carolina, in the country, a very modest home. Not the conveniences that we have here, of course, but it was comfortable, and that was our home, and we loved it.
What was your home like?
It was, as I said, it was in the country, and it was a humble home, but it was filled with love.
Can you tell me about your parents and siblings?
My parents were, of course, Zoe Carpenter and Rufus Carpenter, and they were really great together. My dad seemed to be the one who was always out front, and my mother she was more retiring. Mm-hmm. And as I became an adult and looking back at their relationship, I realized that she was very much a part of the partnership. He depended on her a lot, and she was retiring, but at the same time she was very strong.
Can you tell me about your siblings?
Oh, wow. Yes. I had four older brothers. I was the youngest and the only girl. So I certainly did get some breaks. I escaped a lot of what went on around me, I'm sure, because I was protected by my parents and by my older brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Miles Love was the oldest, and then there was John Rufus, and then there was Henry Neal, and then there was Walter Eugene. And they all played a really important part in my life. Love taught me to drive. John was the one who gave me 10 cents or a quarter when I went out every morning to school to get some ice cream. Henry left when I was just a kid, so I really don't know as much about him. And Gene, my youngest brother, he was maybe a year and a half, a little more older than I. And he was the one that I really played with a lot. And one of the things I remember, when I think back to what did we do for entertainment in that, one of the things I think about is a very large oak tree near the house. And it had roots that extended up and then out, and I'm sure you've seen trees like that. They had big roots, and some of them, of the root was exposed. And there were little sections between these roots. Gene and I had little cars, and we could spend hours around the base of that big oak tree playing with our little cars. And one section would be the garage, and one section that would be our house, and another section that could be where we went to buy things. But it was amazing, when I think back, how many hours we spent out there just with our imaginations going on with these two little cars.
Right.
Then as we got older, he was really great. He, of course, was driving, and I actually didn't start driving until I was 18. So he had been driving a while, and he would take me any place I wanted him to take me. And he never seemed impatient with me. He never made me feel if I was a pain in the neck. So that's one of the things I remember so much about Gene.
Oh.
He was just really, really a great brother. More my age.
Yeah. What was the age difference between you and the other brothers?
There was, I think, about 7-8 years between my three older brothers and Gene and me.
So a big difference?
Yeah, quite a big difference. And when they graduated from high school, they went away to Maryland to work at a company there called Glen L. Martin, and it dealt with metal, you know, building planes, anything that's made out of metal. So they had a lot of experience dealing with that. And they eventually all ended up in the service. This was during the Second World War. And John, Love was in the infantry, so he was in the middle of all the fighting. And Henry was a Marine, he was in the Philippines, and John was in the Air Force. And he was stationed part of his time in India, and that's where they repaired the planes that were damaged in battle. And they would bring the planes there, and his job, part of his job, was to repair the planes. So he had, of course, earlier been working with metal, so he was mm-hmm. ideal for this. And when he was in the hospital, he was telling me that he said he was very good at the job because he had had all of this experience working with metal before, and that they liked him there and they really wanted to promote him, but they could not. He was a sergeant. They wanted to promote him a little higher. They could not because it was just a small group of soldiers, and they could only have a given number of officers in the group. So they weren't able to promote him the way they would like to. Gene was in, he was more toward the Korean War. There was not a real war going on, but he was in the Signal Corps and I guess did a grand job at what he did as well and had some wonderful experiences. And here I was, the little girl at home, teenager by then, of course, and but I do remember when I was in grammar school, Love was the first one to come in, and this, again, there I'm going back a little bit to the Second World War. And I had no idea he was coming in, and so when they went to pick him up, they brought him by the school and picked me up. And so I can almost still hear the little squeal I had when I saw him. I was so excited to see him because it had been so many years if they had been away. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, did you enjoy school?
I love school. I was not a great student. I was a good student. But what I liked about it was we lived out in the country and there were no girls around me. So I always had to play with the boys, yeah. My boy cousins, and of course, Gene. So I was sort of known as the tomboy. But my mother had certain standards, and she would not allow me to climb a tree.
Oh.
Because that's not what young ladies did.
Did you do it anyway?
No. Listen, I had so many monitors around me because I had my older brothers and Gene as well. I mean, Gene was not that much older than I, but if I would step out of line, he would let me know, and he would very quietly put me back where I belonged. But yeah, so I could hardly wait for the summer to end so I could go back to school and see all my girlfriends.
What do you think the worst thing you did as a child was? You may not have done anything.
Honestly, like I say, I had so many people watching over me. I don't think I really did bad things. I don't. I don't know, but I don't, you know. I was very watched over. I was very protected. And I think things did go on that I was never made aware of simply because I was the young girl.
Yeah. What advice would you give yourself looking back, maybe more specifically at your teenage years or young adult years?
I would try to figure out how to gain more confidence, perhaps take more risk, because I was sort of shy and, you know, I was afraid to do certain things. I would force myself to do it, but I would like to tell myself, you know, just have a little more confidence here and don't be afraid to take chances.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice for basically all young girls, I think. So I want to talk a little bit about your marriage and family too. So starting with marriage, how old were you when you got married?
I was 28. It was funny because people would say, well, Jane, when are you getting married? Because that was old for back then. Because I was born in 1934, which meant I'm right now 83. But they would say, Jane, when are you going to get married? And then one day I came in with an engagement ring and they said, you're getting married? So yeah, I was 28 when I married, and I met, actually Jean was a blind date.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. My friend Barbara Pritchett was dating a young man named Hank Hudson. I was a friend of Barbara's, of course, and Jean, my husband, was a friend of Hank's. So they decided it would be fun to get us together and we would double date. So that's how I met Jean. And the interesting thing is, and I asked Jean this question, I said, do you think if we had met out someplace that we really would have become friends? And he thought for a little bit and he said, you know, I'm not sure. Uh-huh. But being actually a date where certainly we were with the other couple, but it still gave us time to get to know each other a little bit without being in a crowd.
Right.
And so it worked out very well.
Do you remember what the date was like?
We actually went to a drive-in movie. Yeah. And it worked out very well. He called me the following weekend called me for a date for the following Saturday. I was out of town and I couldn't do it, of course. And it was really cute because he said, well, I don't usually do this, but how about the following Saturday?
He didn't usually do that.
That's what he said. It was sort of like, well, you know, if you turn me down once, I'm not sure you're going to get another chance.
Yeah, anyway, he gave you another chance.
He did.
Yeah.
And the first time he came to pick me up, he was in a little sports car. I was taller then than I am now, and I wore heels like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was not easy for me to get in and out of that little, it was an MG, it was a small car. It was not that easy for me to get in and out of it. The next time he came to pick me up, he was driving a Chrysler. So it was much larger. And it made it easier for me to get in and out of the car. So I guess he was sort of impressed with me if he changed cars.
I think so, yeah. How long did you date before you got engaged?
We dated at least 2 years, but part of that time he had gone back to school, to graduate school, to Southern Methodist University in Texas. So we corresponded regularly, though, by mail. And of course, when he came home very seldom, but over the Christmas holiday he did. And of course, we did date and get together over that time. But a lot of our time was actually spent long distance.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you know that he was the one?
You know, I hear people say, oh, I knew when I saw him I was going to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel that.
You didn't?
No. I liked him. You know, I did like him. I liked what he stood for. But for me to say, oh, it was love at first sight or anything like that, it really wasn't. It grew.
Mm-hmm.
It grew, I think, for both of us and turned into something great.
Oh. What was your wedding like?
Our wedding was very small. I only had one attendant. She wore the dress that I had worn in her wedding. And I don't even remember now how many invitations we sent out, but it was a small wedding. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Lutheran Chapel Church, which I had been baptized in and had attended until I left, really.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any doubts when you were getting married?
None. None at all, no. I knew he was the one. Yeah, he was the one. It's nice to have that length of time, you know, to get to know someone. Mm-hmm. And no, I knew when I married him that this is a good thing.
What are some of the things that you think you've learned from him?
I can't specifically speak to something special that I learned from him. I know that I did learn things from him. We learned from each other. Mm-hmm. And so I can't think of anything specifically that I say, this is what I learned from Gene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think that the keys to a strong marriage are?
Oh, I think respect.
Respect.
I think respect. I think kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness. Being as polite to your spouse as you would be to a stranger.
That's good.
I just think that's very important because it's a matter of respect.
Yeah, because with the people you're comfortable around, you're definitely more willing to say things mm-hmm. than you are to a stranger. So
right.
It's a very interesting mm-hmm. thing that I've never thought of before, mm-hmm. but it's so true.
And we did. We never said harsh things to each other. We weren't. I mean, we would get frustrated with each other, of course, but we never reached a point to where we were really arguing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of your happiest memories together, or just some fond times you had together?
Well, life in general, we just enjoyed each other. We did. We enjoyed each other. We laughed at a lot of the same things.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Biltmore on our honeymoon. We weren't gone that long, but that was a lovely time. And we were married July 13th, 1963, so it was in the summertime. It was a nice time to be in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after we were married, actually, we moved to Purdue to West Lafayette, Indiana, where Gene there again was doing graduate work.
Okay.
So we drove there, pulling a trailer behind us. And when we got there, we had no place to live. And it was interesting because a Sunday, we stayed in a hotel for a couple of nights. And a Sunday, we went out looking. Well, we got the Sunday paper, and we were looking for rentals near the campus, Purdue University. And it's funny, we found ourselves going to this realty company on a Sunday, which happened to be open, so I think maybe someone was giving us some guidance here. And the man in there had broken his leg, and he had ended up resting on his desk, and he saw us come in, and we told him what we were looking for, and so he started looking through his paper. He happened to be reading the paper when we got there. And he picked out, he knew that we wanted and needed to be near the campus, so he picked out a couple of addresses for us, which was so kind. It made no money for him. He was just being kind to us. He knew we were two people kind of lost at the moment, and the first place we went to was just perfect for us. It was an old sorority house which had been made into apartments and was not on the campus but very, very close to it. So we lived there for, oh, I guess maybe about a year and a half, couple years, and then when our son Alan was born, we moved to a different place. We moved to a duplex, sort of out in a rural area, because there was a pasture behind us and you could hear the animals back there. So it was it was neat. It really was. And we had I had wonderful memories from our time at Purdue University. Yeah, it was beautiful.
You mentioned he was doing graduate work. What kind of things did he study?
He was an engineer, and he got his first degree at NC State, North Carolina State, and he worked for a while, and then he went to Southern Methodist, and he got a degree there in, I'm not sure, it was in engineering, and he left there, and came back to Gastonia. We were not married at that time. And then we were married, and shortly after that, that is when we then went to Purdue University. And he got a master's in engineering sciences there. And while he was there, he was on leave of absence from Douglas Aircraft, which was in Charlotte, North Carolina. In the meantime, they had closed, and they sent all of his records to their home office in California.
Mm-hmm.
So when he graduated from Purdue University, we went directly then to California, and he got a job, continued to work for McDonnell Douglas out there, and the aircraft industry started to slow down. And so he was thinking, well, maybe it might be a good time to leave the aircraft industry. So he got an interview with Westinghouse Electric,
mm-hmm.
and took a job in Pittsburgh. He wanted in writing that he would not be in the Pittsburgh office, that he would be in a suburban office, which happened to be in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, which was not far from where we actually ended up buying a house in Murraysville. So that worked out well. He didn't have to go downtown to work. He could just go to Monroeville to work for his work. And that is when we then had our daughter Sandra. And Gene worked with Westinghouse for, oh my, so many years. At least, I think, 30 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. And he developed cancer. And he decided that he would retire. But he discovered this cancer a year before he retired, and it was kind of interesting because, and of course they gave him chemo. And they said, well, what people usually did, they would do their chemo on the weekends so that by Monday they felt like going back to work. But he didn't like that idea because that took away the weekend for his golf. So he would play golf, and then he would take his chemo on Monday so he could have comfortable weekends, which I thought was very smart of him. And it worked very well. He was on chemo for six years.
Uh-huh.
And he handled it very well, but eventually, of course, it did take his life. But, you know, when I was in high school, going back again, jumping around, when I was in high school, I worked on Saturdays at Belk's Department Store. I was making 50 cents an hour, And my dad would drive, but like I say, I didn't get my license until I was 18. Mm-hmm. And so my dad would drive me to work on a Saturday morning. He would give me money for my lunch. He would come and pick me up after work on Saturday afternoon. So like I say, I was pretty well cared for.
Sounds
good. It kind of worked kind of nice being the only girl in a family of boys. And they were all wonderful to me.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Well, I know you were also a caregiver, so I wanted to ask about your children. And so my first question is, how did you find out you were going to be a mother?
Well, we had it planned, so we were not surprised when we found out. And of course, we wanted it.
Yeah.
So we were happy, and we got our boy.
Aww.
Yeah, we got our boy. And Alan Eugene, and that was before we left West Lafayette, Indiana, and our daughter, of course, was born when we were in California. I love being a mother, and it was an interesting time, and you know, sometimes I kind of wish I had it to do over again.
Really?
I do. And they're both wonderful, wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
Smart, funny, you know. Of course, when they were teenagers, they really didn't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they got older, became adults, they became great friends. And they were so much fun to be around because they had these word games that they played. They both were very quick. And they would play these word games. I would just laugh and laugh at them when they would start doing that. They would try to outdo the other one.
What kind of things would they say?
Well, they would start out with something, and they would try to rhyme it.
Uh-huh.
You know, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I don't know, it was just fun to see them interacting and enjoying each other so much.
Yeah.
And of course, as they got older, they had a great deal of respect for each other. And she did for him, and he did for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very obvious, and they even verbalized it. I know Alan said to me at one point, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what Sandra accomplishes in her life. I mean, they were very fond of each other and respected each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun being their mother.
I'm sure it was, you know, knowing both of them and their personalities, I'm sure it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any other memories of when they were growing up?
There are so many. It's sort of hard to kind of pinpoint them. I enjoyed very much being in my family. I enjoyed my brothers and my parents were wonderful. I love my friends. I had a good time with my friends after I was old enough that I could get out and be around them.
Yeah.
You know. But I had a really good life. I did. I had people all around to protect me and to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And we never had a lot, but we always had enough.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I look back on my life and I think, what a lucky girl you are. Found this guy that I loved and he loved me. And it's been a good life.
Yeah. That's great.
Been some sad times along the way, of course, but more happy times.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I also know that your friends are very important to you, so I wanted to ask you about them. And first of all, can you tell me about some of your closest friends? And how you guys met?
I met some of my friends through playing tennis. and I met some through playing cards. Unfortunately, some of my oldest friends very good friends for years have either died or they've moved away, and so you know when that happens you sort of lose touch. Mm-hmm. But I made some very good friends in Murrysville, and I met them basically through playing tennis and through playing cards. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy them. We do have a good time. We get together, we'll have dinner. Mm-hmm. And just chat, or we'll play cards. I went with some to Aruba a couple mm-hmm. years ago, and that was great fun. And prior to that, I went with some to the Atlantis, which was great fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I mentioned that our little family did go to Italy. I think that I did. Yes,
okay.
Yes. And that was great for our family. But I enjoy my friends. I enjoy my friends. They're good, they're trustworthy, and you can't ask for more than that.
You're right. Yeah. You said you met them, some of them playing tennis. How long did you play tennis?
I left the tennis court. I was never a good tennis player, but I was playing with older people, so that was okay. When I turned 80, I thought maybe it's time to get off the tennis court because the last thing I needed, because by then, of course, I had lost my husband and I was living alone. And I thought the last thing I need to do is fall on the tennis court and break a leg or something like that. So I decided to be smart about it, and I did stop playing tennis when I turned 80.
That's so nice that you had so many good memories playing tennis and you were able to play it for so long.
Right. Yeah. It's great.
What kind of card games did you play?
You know, we play, I love bridge, and I play more bridge than any other card game, but there are others that I play along the way. Some I learn along the way because some of my friends do play different kinds of games, and but my card game really is bridge. That's what I loved. And Gene played, my husband played bridge, so we played together in a group of couples, which was fun too.
That sounds really nice.
Yeah.
I also know that you're a grandmother, so
yeah.
I wanted to ask you about your grandchildren, and just want to hear kind of what you have to say about that.
Well, I have just one, an 8-year-old who is beautiful, of course,
mm-hmm.
and smart. And it's just a great experience. I just wish that I could spend more time with her. But Sandra and I usually go out together, and Elena always looks forward to having us out there because you know, it's kind of fun to have someone different in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And she and Sandra are just great together. And it's fun just to watch the two of them. And Sandra's, Elaine at this point, she's really kind of interested in doing little experiments and things like that. And so the last time we went out, we took a junior chemistry set out to her. So it was fun watching her and Sandra at the sink, you know, going through some of the simple little things there. But she enjoys doing that now. And we will be going out for Christmas, and we look forward to being there and spending time with her.
I know she looks forward to seeing you guys,
she
too.
She really does seem to, yeah. Which makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Do
you have any funny stories or happy memories that you have spent with Elena?
With Elena?
Mm-hmm.
I can't come up with any specifically now. She is a funny little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost her dad a couple of months ago, as you know. And when I was out there, after this had happened, Sandra and I were in the guest room. And Sandra was on one side of the bed and I was on the other side, and Elena was watching us, and we were talking about her daddy and about various things. And I said, "You know, Elena, your Aunt Sandra is so much like your daddy." And she looked, "He's a boy, you know, she's a girl." But I said, "No, I said, just think about it." I said, "Your daddy was very smart, and Aunt Sandra was very smart. And your daddy loved you very much, and Aunt Sandra loves you very much." And she looked at me and she smiled and said, "Funny." I said, "You're right. Aunt Sandra's funny and Daddy was funny." So I was hoping maybe for her to be able to see a little bit of her daddy through Sandra.
Yeah.
And I think it took.
I'm sure.
And I think it took.
As
when
she
said
up.
The smile. And she said, "Yeah." She said the funny. She said funny. So mm-hmm. I thought, she gets what I'm doing.
Yeah. And as she grows up, she's going to see so much more
right.
of him and her.
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I think
yeah.
so.
She definitely will.
Yeah, because we want to keep him alive. He was a dear, dear person, good man.
Yeah. What are you most proud of in your life?
Oh, my God. I am so proud of my family. I was so proud of my husband, still am. So proud of my two children. So proud of all my nieces and nephews, my brothers, my darling sister-in-law. And Othello, of course, isn't here either, but two of the best things that ever happened to our family was when Othello married my brother, Love, and Jean married Sarah.
Oh.
So I would say that I am most proud of my family
mm-hmm.
and all my extended family.
We're proud of you too.
Oh, thank you.
You know, we just had Thanksgiving. So what do you think you're the most grateful for?
Well, you know what? I keep popping back to my family, don't I? Because they've been my support.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very grateful for my friends. I am very grateful that I grew up in a loving family, a good family. I'm very grateful that I had my husband as many years as I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm grateful for him. And so many things, I can't even name them. I can't even name them.
Mm-hmm.
It's great fun now because I'm here with my family in North Carolina and was able to be able to celebrate Thanksgiving with them. And tomorrow I will leave to go back to Murrysville, Pennsylvania, to my home. And
mm-hmm.
And my life up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my last question for you is, if you think about your family generations from now, like Elena's great-great-grandchildren, and it's possible they could hear this, do you have anything you'd want to tell them or any wisdom or advice?
Wisdom or advice? I don't know. I would certainly want them to know that I left them beyond words. I would want them to be kind and caring
mm-hmm.
for all people, not just family and friends, but all people. And I just want them to know that they come from such a great family, and I hope that kind of family love goes on and on and on.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really enjoyed it. And
well, listen, I want to thank you for doing this because you've taken me down a road of memories. You've made me think of some things that I haven't thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that I haven't thought of in a while.
Yeah.
And of course, it's always a joy to be with you. So when I go back tomorrow, I shall just see what my next step in my little journey is going to be.
Right. Well, I'm so grateful you're here and just grateful to have you in my life. And you're just fun to be around, just wonderful to be around.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you too.